You have survived, if you're here, the polar vortex. Today, it is going to be 50 degrees. So, they've always said if you don't like the weather in Chicago, just wait 24 hours, 48, wait a couple days, and it'll be different. So, have some warmer weather to melt some of the ice. Just had a few announcements for you. Region is sponsoring a couples conference that is just 2 weeks from a little less than 2 weeks away. Thank you. There's a couples conference in Indianapolis. The details are in your bulletin if you're interested in that. Pastors, what? It's in the bulletin? It is. You're going to have to look it up because we don't have the dates in the bulletin. Is it? March 8th and 9th. Oh, I'm sorry. It is in the bulletin. March 8th and 9th at Eagle Creek Community Church in Indianapolis. Bill Young is a pastor actually in Salt Lake City. He's going to come out and teach there. It's very affordable if you want to go. That is the weekend before GCLI. Our GCLI conference is a gathering of teaching leaders for our Eastern Plains region. And churches will gather from Dubuque to Indianapolis here just because we're central. So we have a lot of conferences coming up. But the first conference is the women's conference. That is just under 2 weeks away. Sue Gerber is coming down with a friend of hers, and they're going to do some seminars and teaching and a time to gather together. So if you have not registered or you're interested, the registration is only on Facebook. Please let Janelle or my wife know, and we'll help you. Not everyone's on Facebook. We will get you registered. We're trying to get that done by February 10th because we're having some of the food catered just so we have an accurate count. So if you can get your name in for that, that would be great. An update on the construction. I'll apologize a little for the dust. I keep saying that this is the last week we will have any dust. We're done with the drywall. This week we painted most of the ceilings. And when you spray paint, I guess the way it works is that a lot of it bounces off. Dust. So we've been working with that, and it's funny, when it's dark out, it looks like you got all the dust, and when the sun comes out, you didn't get it all. So this week is our last week of painting. We're going to finish painting on this side and the kitchen. And so after this week, we should be nearly, I won't say, it'll be better. So thank you for your patience there. So that's it for our construction update. You can pray for a little warmer weather. We're actually hoping to get the air conditioning units up on the roof later this week. It's been too cold for that. But in God's timing, today all the snow on the roof will melt. And we're ready for maybe this warm spell is for us. Anyway, that's it for our announcements today. Mike is going to continue in our series of teaching from the first chapter of Ephesians of the principles there. This is the time in our service where we do the offering, so the ushers will come forward, and this is your time, if you choose, to participate and honor God and all He's blessed you for.
Okay, good morning. Wow, it's loud. It's all right. Good morning. Well, yeah, let's hurry up and get those air conditioners in because at the rate it's going, there's been a 75-degree spread from the middle of the week to now, so next week it's going to be like 120. So we got to get those air con pumped up, so looking forward to that. So welcome to spring. And Mark, I could tell, was a little bit down. Oh, is he in the room? He was a little bit down. I could tell because the Bears weren't in the Super Bowl today. But, you know, luckily he took hold of the truths of the gospel, and that encouraged him, so that was good. Yeah, I think we're all a little down, but next year it'll happen. Well, we are in the middle of our series this winter on the blessings of salvation, and if you didn't get notes in the bulletin, I'm going to have a few challenges, so you may want those to write those down. And as we walk through the beginning section of this letter that Paul wrote to the church, he wrote it to the church in the ancient city of Ephesus, and Paul had actually planted that first church in that city. We talked about three weeks ago, about how he planted that church. He spent a couple years there preaching and teaching, and people came to faith, both Jews and Gentiles, and they spread out throughout Asia, and lots of faith communities all throughout Asia as a result of that initial work in Ephesus. And that was despite persecution that was building against the church. And it reminds me, today I saw a note from our sister church in Managua, Nicaragua, or this week at some point, and it just reminds me of their heart, you know, that despite persecution that's going on in their country right now, their eyes are on expanding the gospel, and they've started other faith communities around the greater Managua area, similar to what the early Christians did throughout Asia from Ephesus. So Paul wrote this at the end of his life from prison. He wanted believers to be encouraged. You know, you can just imagine. He knew it was probably towards the end of his life, and he wanted people to be encouraged about God's character and who God was, and to encourage them on and to spur them on to love and good deeds in the faith and to continue growing. And so he wrote this letter, and he shared his heart. And actually, they don't really know where it ends, but at least the first chapter into the second chapter is really a prayer that Paul wrote. If you read it, it reads like a prayer. And the section that we're going over this winter is strictly just Ephesians 1:3 through 14. And Ephesians 1:3 through 14 is like a doxology. A doxology. And you may not know, well, what is a doxology? A doxology is an expression of praise to God, a prayer of praise. And it's so interesting because if you think about it, when someone prays, they convey their understanding of God back to God, don't they? Don't you learn about God through people praying? I do. As a young Christian, when I saw and heard people pray, I learned so much about God just through their prayers of more mature believers, because they were praying what they knew about, their understanding of God, what they knew. And wow, do we learn? And we learn so much from Paul's prayer here. It's so theologically rich. An insight into who God is and what he has done and why. So this doxology is like a waterfall, and Dean started it out a couple weeks ago talking about that's kind of the thesis statement that God has given us, every spiritual blessing. And then it's like a waterfall. It's a one sentence from Ephesians 1:3 through 14. It's one sentence in the original Greek, and it spills out. It says, well, what is those spiritual blessings, and Greg went over last week, that were chosen, predestined, adopted, and that kind of opens the veil of what these spiritual blessings are, these riches that we have in Christ. And today we're going to look at the next verse, which even goes deeper and tells us the motivation for all this that God has done for us. It's his glorious grace, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I was encouraged that the women in Glen Arbor have started this cyber Bible study. I don't think, I love that, because they didn't talk that way back in the early church days. You know? Actually, it's not a Bible study, a devotional, a cyber devotional group on the Bible app. And anyone can join that if you're a woman. It's not closed. So if you haven't heard about that and you want to get in on that, talk to Linda or Barbara or Robin, and they'll get you connected in with that. And what they're doing is on the Bible app, you can have groups, and so they have a plan that they go through together, and then they write comments in the group, and you can read other people's comments and write your comments. And it's light devotional, heavy on the Word, just reading the Word, praying, and seeing what the Lord shows you. And so I was encouraged that this week the plan was on, guess what? Grace. Talk about providential. I don't know if that was planned or that was by some human or if that was the Lord that planned that. But I was encouraged that they were studying about grace all week. And I trust that the Lord will use this whole week's meditations and what we talk about this morning to really give us a deeper understanding of grace. So let's just open up in prayer and then we'll dive right in. Father, we thank you for your word, because we wouldn't know your word, we wouldn't know about you too much apart from your word. We know so much more through your word. We know so much more through seeing Paul's heart as he wrote prayers of praise to you, so theologically rich of the truths of your character, Lord. May they touch our lives this morning as we look at your glorious grace. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. So grace, we're looking at Ephesians 1:6 today, and that's it. Just Ephesians 1:6. So you can open up your Bible if you want. I'll have the verse on most of the time. Actually, this is Ephesians 1:6. 5 leads into it. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So this comes on the heels of what Greg preached last week, Ephesians 5. Well, he did 4 and 5, but here's the immediate context where it talks about in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. This is NIV. In accordance with his pleasure and will. And then it says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. So this is the context. So why did God adopt us? Why was it his pleasure and will? Verse 6 tells us it's because of his grace. Grace is like that engine under the hood that drives the car, you know. And God's grace, his glorious grace, is the engine that drove all that he has done for us. This week I read that Paul frequently uses 5 words in a heavy way to describe the Christian life. And grace, truth, faith, hope, and love. You know, you probably know, you're like, oh yeah, those are classics. Well, Paul used those words a lot, grace and truth and faith and hope and love. And all of them are found in this section of Scripture we're going to be going over this winter and throughout Ephesians. But grace is always the foundation when you see it throughout the New Testament. Grace is always the foundation, the engine. So what is it? What is grace? We talk about it all the time, you know, but what is it? Well, many of you, I have to turn around a lot because this monitor looks like it's on the fritz. So if I'm doing that a lot, it's just because I can't see it too well here. So what is grace? Well, many of you know that I've had this hobby since I was a kid of doing magic tricks. You know, I started when I was in grade school. My grandpa got me into it, and I've talked about that a little bit, you know, doing magic shows. I did a lot of magic shows throughout my childhood and high school and college and young adult. I haven't been too active lately in doing magic shows. When I became a Christian, I started doing Christian magic shows where I would share the gospel, you know, using object lessons, magic object lessons and stuff. And it's been a lot of fun. Just don't do a whole lot of it lately. But I shared last fall about how when I was young, when I was in high school, I got connected in with some professional magicians in the Chicagoland area. And they kind of took me under their wing. And I've been thinking about them a lot lately because I reconnected with one of their wives on Facebook this year, the last 6-8 months. And so I've been reconnecting with them. And it's funny, my buddy, the magician, Ken Mate, his wife, it's his wife's Facebook account, but he's always posting on it. He's like, this is Ken, blah, 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 blah. So much so that she actually changed the name of her Facebook account. It says Terry Mate with Ken, you know, because he posts so much on her Facebook account. So I've reconnected with them, and about a month ago or so, a couple months ago, his wife posted and said, hey, all you guys that are friends of Ken, could you post something about your thoughts about Ken, because I want to compile it into a surprise birthday thing for him. And so I posted, you know, one night I posted my thoughts about Ken's friendship, and she immediately messaged me. Oh, first of all, here's a photo of them, just so, since I'm talking about him. So this is a recent photo, like the last couple weeks. That's Ken Mate on the right. That's his wife in the back. That's one of their grandkids. So they're obviously going for a show, setting up some show somewhere. Really good people. But anyway, so I posted my thoughts about Ken on Facebook to his wife. And then immediately, like within, I don't know, 20 minutes, she messaged me this photo from A Blast from the Past. I don't know who that skinny-legged little kid is up there, but But this photo is from, I don't know, probably early 80s, I'm thinking. And what happened was that when I messaged, she read the message that I sent about Ken, and she said, at that moment, when you messaged me, Ken was going through an old stack of photos and came upon this photo of you back in the day. Is that incredible or what? And so, you know, we were going back and forth, and I said, wow, that's magic, you know. And actually, you know, that was a joke, you know. Obviously, it was most likely some providential, the providential hand of God, just so you, in case you're worried about where I stand with this stuff. But so anyway, the reason we have this photo is that Ken organized these, what they call magic showcases back in the day, and his like circle of magician friends, he would tap them all and say, hey, let's do a big magic showcase, and they have like eight magicians, and we'd all have 10 minutes to do our act, and he'd be the MC and host it, and it was a lot of fun. It was great to be a part of that back in the day. And this made me think about Ken as I was thinking about grace. I was like, wow, where is there an example in my life where I felt grace from other people? And I thought, wow, it was with these guys. That was the strongest place that I realized that I first felt grace from a group of people. And because these guys, you know, took me under their wing. Another friend of mine was Mr. Ash. He was a good friend of Ken's, and they were really the two that I knew the best. This is a picture of them, Mr. Ash on the left, Ken Maid on the right, and Bozo Circus back in the early 1980s. I actually saw this live. They said, hey, we're going to be on Bozo Circus, so I watched it as a little high school punk. And you see, these men treated me like a professional magician, even though I wasn't. You know, I was just a high schooler when I met them. And they invited me along to shows, and they showed me the ropes of being in the entertainment industry in Chicago, and they had me assist them in shows and even participate in shows like that magic showcase. And later, when I grew up, when I was more like 18, 19, Mr. Ash would call me on the phone during the summer when I was home from college and be like, Michael, I got a show for you this Saturday. You know? He was Armenian, so... And he'd be like, I'm double booked. You got to go to this address, blah, blah, blah. You know? And so I even worked for him. You know, I hung out with their family. I knew them. You know, it was like a brotherhood, you know, being in with them. And but listen, I didn't audition for this apprenticeship, if you will. They didn't even call it apprenticeship. They just invited me along. I didn't audition for it, you know. I wasn't even that good back then. In fact, I learned from them. I would just imitate. I'd say all their jokes and do all their routines when I did my own shows because I didn't have anything, you know. And it wasn't until later that I tried to develop my own routines. But I imitated them because they were great, and they were my, you know, mentors, if you will. And they, I don't know if they just liked me hanging around, but they kept inviting me to stuff, and I did, and I was in their stuff. And I don't know why it was. It's just that they, you know, wanted to. They just invited me into their inner circle. All I know is I felt valued to be included in that. And that's grace. That's grace. There's no reason why I should have been in with those guys, you know. No reason at all. But it was their grace that they included me and invited me in. And that's how God is with us. God's grace is undeserved blessing freely given to us. And let me repeat that, because you've probably heard different definitions, but this is what grace is. It's God, grace of God is God's undeserved blessing freely given to us. It's his unbelievable acceptance of us. It's his desire to bless us. It's his desire to invite us in. It's his generosity towards us. It's his favor towards us. That's what the grace of God is. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't audition for it. He just decides to freely give it to you. His generosity is freely given in the one he loves, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? God chooses us because it's part of his character. He predestines us because it was part of his character. He adopts us because it's part of his character. His purposes, everything he does is rooted in his character and who he is. And he is a God of grace. Jesus him sending Jesus to die for our sins is not like some afterthought of God, like, oh, they screwed up, I gotta go save them. It's a part of his character, always. It was the essence of who he was. And he showed his grace in Christ. It reveals his grace in Christ. You know, when I think back to those professional magicians and how they treated me, I felt like they were for me. You know, I feel like those guys were for me. And that's what God is to you. He's for you, as Romans says. He's for you. Who can be against you if God is for you? He is for you. That's an essence of grace. He adopted us, and adoption is relational. He wants you. He invites you into his inner circle. He wants you relationally with him, have a friendship with him, to hang out with him. That's what he wants. It's his initiative. I think about how grace is, you know, not grace is not some sort of commodity. You know, we talk about grace in the Christian church as if it's some spiritual commodity that you have to get. You know what I mean? We talk about it like some commodity, like, you know, you go to the store and say, oh, I'll take these groceries and throw in a pack of grace. I need a little extra grace today. You know, but that's not what grace is. That's not what grace is. It's not a commodity. It's not some sort of material that you gather up, some sort of spiritual material that you gather up. And grace is not something that you get by buying it. It's not something you get by doing anything, you know. Grace is simply the blessing of a generous nature of some individual. Grace is just a word to describe the blessing that results from the generosity, the generous heart of some individual. And in this case, the generous nature of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved by grace means that you're saved through God's generous disposition towards you. And that's it. There's nothing else. That is it. His generous disposition towards you. Here's an analogy I heard from my wife. It's like if we lived in a house and we had to make monthly mortgage payments. Are you with me here? All right, yeah, everybody does that. What if someone just came up to the house, some guy came up to the house one day and knocked on the door and said, you know what, I would like to move you guys into this big, beautiful house, and it's all paid off, free. And you're like, well, why would you want to do that? And he's like, I just want to do it. It's just my delight to do it. It's my favor to do it. I would like to do it. How many of you would sign up for that deal? Yeah, right? All right. Is anybody offering that deal? Okay, just want to, yeah, I thought I'd check. But if you're a believer in Christ, that's what God has done for you spiritually, you know. You lived in this house called sin, and you were in debt, you were in bondage. And one day Jesus came along and knocked on your door and said, I'd like you to move into this new house that's and free you from this bondage, free you from this debt. And you just live there now, and you'll be free. And it's his grace that gets you there, you know. It's his grace that moves you from that house of bondage to the house of spiritual freedom and to be freed in Christ. You had nothing to do with it. It was all about God. You had nothing to do with it. You have nothing to do with it. It's all about God. All about God. His nature, his grace. So what's the application here? One application is how you view yourselves, you know. On the one hand, if you struggle with pride, you know, and, you know, because grace, not only in Ephesians, we're talking about grace in the context of salvation, coming to faith in Jesus Christ and getting eternal life. That happens, that initial salvation, that happens through grace. But even as the Bible also talks about grace that you get as a Christian, as you're walking through life, you know, and the grace that we show each other, there's lots of different aspects of grace talked about in the New Testament. We're talking about salvation, eternal life through Christ, coming into a right relationship with Christ here. But you need grace all the time. And so one application is to think about yourself, boy, do you struggle with pride, with your ego, and grace will humble you, you know, to realize that you, to come to faith in Christ, to get eternal life, you can't be good enough. Your sin is so deep, you need a Savior. You need God's grace. And that takes some humility to say, yes, you're right, I can't do it, God. I need your help. God has provided that help through Jesus Christ. But even as you walk in your Christian life, to think to yourself, boy, is pride getting in my way? Do I think I can do these things by myself rather than ask God for help? I prayed this morning. It's been so good You know, one of the big lessons of preaching is that you grow more probably yourselves than your hearers, you know. But as I've been praying, I prayed this morning, you know, God, I need your help this morning. Give me clarity, confidence, conviction in what I preach. I need your help. I can't do anything without you. And that's what, do we approach the Lord? I don't approach the Lord that way all the time, but is pride getting in the way? So that's one aspect where grace, we need to learn from grace in that area. Another aspect is if, on the flip side, is if you struggle with your self-esteem and how you value yourself. Because in that scenario, grace is going to lift you up. You know, if you feel like, boy, I'm worthless, I'm a nobody, grace will lift you up because to see how much value God has on you, to address that issue, God's grace gives you value. God's grace gives you meaning. Your life is meaningful, not because of what you do, but because of how God views you, his grace towards you. And so a proper understanding of God's character of grace gives you a balance of not thinking too highly of yourselves and not thinking too lowly of yourself. And so I encourage you this week to take some time and get with the Lord and say, what do I struggle with in my heart? Do I struggle with pride? Lord, break me with your grace. Let me see that I need your help. And if you struggle with your self-esteem, your self-image, come to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for your value. Show me how much you value me, because my value, my meaning is in you. And so I challenge you to let God's grace change you this week. Go to him in prayer about that. Next, if we back up the verse just a little bit, it talks about God's glorious grace. That's the other aspect of God's grace, is that it's glorious. It's glorious, the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Now, glory is primarily a word about revelation. And when God gave his one and only Son, it revealed his grace. See, God always had grace, but you didn't necessarily see it. But when he sent his Son, you saw his grace in action. The acts of grace reveal his grace. And by nature, just by acknowledging that and seeing that, that's giving glory to that, because it's a good thing. Grace is a good thing. And so God reveals his grace through his actions of grace, and we acknowledge it, and that's why it's glorious. That brings glory to the Lord when we acknowledge and recognize what he has done and his character. And it's not like God does graceful things in order to get glory. He's not like, well, if I just do some graceful acts, I'll get some more glory. That's what I want. You know, that's not God's character. You know, God is, his character is just to give, freely give. But the automatic result of that, when we acknowledge that, is that he gets glory. It's glorious. Does that make sense a little bit? Let me explain that maybe more on a human level. We have this iCalendar event that reminded us that today is the four-year anniversary of when Shawnee Barstatus went home to be with the Lord. She's the one right up there with the gap, or I don't know what kind of sweatshirt that is, right next to, look at Rebecca with the, she's pregnant with Ruthie there. And anyway, that was a long time ago, but, you know, Shawnee was a long-term member of our church, and we talked about 4 years she's gone to be with the Lord. We were talking about it in our house a little bit yesterday, that she was always a person who remembered birthdays, you know. So that's why this photo is actually of a birthday party at our house. I don't know whose birthday. Jonathan's birthday? Okay. And Shawnee always remembered birthdays. She always gave cards for birthdays and gifts to the kids, you know, especially to the kids. Now, she didn't have a lot of money, but it's something that she always wanted to do, to spend the little money she had sometimes on gifts for the kids. And her act of giving really revealed her heart of grace towards people, towards kids, towards all of us. Her acts of giving revealed her grace, her heart of grace, her heart of generosity. And people talked about that at her funeral. People talked about her generous nature and how she would always give gifts to and cards and say happy birthday, recognize people's birthday. And in doing that, really, in a sense, her grace was glorified. It was acknowledged. It was recognized. And so that's what we're talking about. God's magnificent acts of grace are revealed and acknowledged and glorified. It's his glorious grace. It's his glorious grace. His grace is glorious because of the axe that he's taken with it and who he is. We sang a song a couple weeks ago that had some really great lyrics, but one line I was thinking about, because it's a little bit different from some of the songs that you hear. It says, if his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking, and is the line from the song. And one aspect of that, I see that God's grace is bountiful. It's boundless. So if you think of an ocean and as his grace, you know, it's like limitless. But an ocean, you know, you think an ocean is, the water is almost limitless. Well, God's grace really is limitless. It's not like, you know, he's going to run out of his generous favor towards you. It's not like he said, well, I've already showed grace to that person so much, their allotment is used up. You know, now I can only show grace to these other people. I haven't shown them enough grace. God's grace is limitless. Anything you need, it's going to be there. It's boundless. It's limitless. And so that aspect of the verse I really like. The part about sinking in grace, that's a little bit of lyrical artistry, isn't it? But theologically, I thought about, boy, if I was going to use a metaphor about sinking in the ocean related to grace, I think I would say something like this. It doesn't fit in a song lyric, by the way. So I would say what we're sinking in is an ocean of sin. We were sinking in an ocean of sin. And grace was that Coast Guard ladder that was thrown into the water to save you from certain death. And grace was that guardsman that dove into the water because you didn't have the strength to swim over to the ladder so that he could carry you over to the ladder. And grace was that pilot that took that helicopter out in the middle of a storm, who left his little wife and kids at home, risked his own life to save your life. That's grace. The Coast Guard is grace-filled in what they do, and it's glorious when they save people physically. It's glorious. Their grace is glorious in that sense. And God's grace is glorious because he spiritually saves us. Amen? It's glorious what he did for us to throw down that ladder, to save us from a certain death, a certain spiritual death. One challenge here on this is, how is your heart towards people? As I've been studying this verse and grace this last week or so, what's really come to my heart is, boy, I want to be like God, you know? We always, when we see how glorious God is in different aspects, we naturally just want to be like him. And it challenges me to evaluate, how is my heart towards other people? Do I treat other people the way God treats me? Do I think about other people the way God thinks about me? Do I value other people the way God values me? And it's challenged me to be more like God in my grace-orientedness in interactions with people. And so we have these younger employees at work, and they're learning, but it takes time. You know, it's a steep learning curve when you first start in a new company and in the industry and everything. And one task that came up a few days ago, typically I just do it because I'm the most experienced and can do it the most efficiently and just get it out of the way. But I stopped myself this week because I was thinking of this topic of grace. And so instead of just doing it myself, I went up to this younger colleague and I said, hey, do you want to give this a go? If you need my help on whatever sections you're not sure about, let me know. But why don't you give this a go? And she was like, yeah, of course, I'll do it. And she said, wow, thanks for the opportunity. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. She's really thankful for this opportunity. And I realized why, because it showed confidence in her, that I valued her, that I valued her work and her abilities, her skill. And I need to do more of that. We have this other younger guy who I work with who... you know, he's young, he's making mistakes, and I always try and tell him, hey, don't worry about it, because he always beats himself up, you know, when he makes a mistake. He's like, oh, I will spend the whole weekend trying to really learn Spider Rock Network so that I won't make this mistake again. I'm like, don't worry about it, you know. It's a lot to learn. Just, you know, we'll fix it next week, you'll learn more, you know. And I have a long ways to go in showing grace, but let's all ask God to make us more grace-filled in our interaction with people, to treat people with grace, to treat people with value the way God treats us and thinks about us. And it will be glorious when we do. It's glorious when we treat people with grace. Last aspect is that grace is
praiseworthy. His glorious grace is praiseworthy to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So grace is revealed when he sent his son to die on the cross for us. When he sent his son, it's freely given. As a result of that, we recognize that grace. We recognize the glory of it. And what's the natural response from that is to give praise. To give praise to the Lord when we see his glorious grace in action. It's like that guy that gave you the house, you know. If you moved into the new house and it was free and you were living there, what would you do naturally with that guy? You'd thank him, you know. You'd be like, you are so generous. You'd praise him. Thank you for being so generous. I think I would think about that guy and give thanks every time I pulled in the driveway of that house, you know, because of how much he had done for me when I didn't deserve it, when I did nothing. You know, my mind wanders into weird places sometimes. And I was thinking about this Santa thing. This Santa thing is so theologically off base, you know. And you know why? Because Santa only gives gifts when you're good enough. Have you ever thought about that? Santa only gives gifts when you're good enough. It's a merit-based giving system, you know. Totally theologically off base. But, you know, parents are different. You know, for some reason they don't have Christmas specials about parents giving, only about Santa. But parents are different because parents usually give gifts to their kids without qualification, you know. We give gifts because we're like, what will delight my little Sally or my little Ben or whatever, you know. And I wasn't trying to pick names of anybody in particular. But, you know, we give gifts because we want to delight our kids, you know. We love to delight them. And we give gifts purely out of a heart of grace, don't we? Just because we want to. Because it's great. We want to do it. That's who we are with our kids. And what happens when those kids open those gifts, that gift that they always wanted, you know, they come running over and say, thank you, thank you. That's the response to grace, is giving praise, giving thanks. They say thank you. Much better system than the Santa system. But God's glorious grace is worth so much more praise, so much more thanksgiving. I was thinking yesterday, my older son Jonathan texted my wife yesterday, said that Friday night he was up in his dorm room all night sick with stomach flu or food poisoning. You know, you don't know which one it is, same symptoms, all night long. And Barbara was like, oh, and his roommates like helped him clean up stuff, you know. And Barbara was like, let me come on over and get you, bring you home. He's just right at Wheaton College, so it's easy drive. And, you know, nurse you back to health. And he was like, all right, yeah, I think that would be good. Give my roommates a break. And so Barbara drove over there, picked up some Gatorade on the way to begin to nurse him back to health. And he was just too weak to carry. He's like, I better bring my books in case I get some strength back to study. And so Barbara went into the dorm and helped him carry stuff out to the car and got him in the car, and they drove home. And on the way home, Barbara said that he said, well, thanks for being so nice to me, you know. And we were talking about that. What a perfect illustration. You know, parents' grace towards their kids is just, you know, it's a mom thing, you know. A mom and her kids are just, it's not like she had to think, oh, should I love him and serve him, you know. It was automatic, you know. But Jonathan recognized that grace and said thanks. You know, do we recognize God's grace that easily and give him thanks? The challenge is this. Ephesians 1 is really Paul modeling his response of praise in prayer to God's glorious grace and all of God's character. And it's a great prayer of a heart of praise. And so will you take some time this week and in your devotional time, just praise the Lord for his glorious grace. Meditate on it a little bit and praise him for his glorious grace. And actually, I would encourage you, I'm going to try and do this. Since Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 was a prayer of praise, take some time and pray that to the Lord yourself. Make it your own prayer and just pray that back to the Lord and see how the Lord uses that in your life. In fact, let's just close this morning with a minute of personal prayer time. And would you just take a moment in your own heart to reflect on God's glorious grace, consider how much he values you, Ask him to make you more grace-filled with your interactions with people and praise him for all that he's given you. I'll just give you a moment as we close up. Praise you, God, for your glorious grace that you've shown us. It's not just some distant theological concept, Lord, and help us not to see it. Maybe we've known this intellectually in our minds, but Lord, help us to learn it in our hearts, that it's a living reality, that we are saved only because of your grace, only because of your good nature, and that we are to walk in your good nature, Lord, to walk in your grace, Lord, that you're there, that your grace is boundless, limitless for us. We praise and we thank you for your awesomeness, Lord. You truly are awesome. What an awesome word to use to describe you, God. You are awesome, our awesome God. And we praise you this morning. And we lift everyone up here to you in your son's name. Amen.